Blog Talk Radio.
An air and sea search is continuing for possible survivors of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a 729-foot ore carrier, which apparently broke apart and sunk last night on Lake Superior. The ship and its 29-man crew vanished in a storm with 80-mile-an-hour winds and wave heights up to 25 feet. All that has been found is an oil slick and some debris.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down, up the big lake they call Get Sugar Mill. The lake, it is said, never gives up for dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. But the load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. A big ship and crew was a bung to be chewed when the gales of November gave her lay. The ship was the pride of the American friends, coming back from Plumville in Wisconsin. And the big freighter's government was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain wealthy then. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left on a load of grizzly flesh. And later that night when the ship's bell rang, it'd be the north wind they'd been sailing. The wind in the wild made a paddle sail. St. Peter's Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the heaven of Fitzgerald's. The legend let it run from the tip of one down of the big lake they called Good Sugar Mill. Superior, they say, never gives up for days when the kills of November gone early.
Right, that was Edmund Fitzgerald, Gordon Lightfoot. Welcome back, my friends. This is Man Cave. Last Friday of every month, Stephen 76 and myself get together to talk about anything we want. And tonight, it's going to be Edmund Fitzgerald. I'm going to hand the mic over to Stephen 76 to take over and talk about some of the details. With us also is Deborah Lee, of course. She does all the heavy lifting in the back so we can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you, Deb.
No problem, and guess what?
What?
Well, I guess I just looked at your message really, really quick, and I thought you said Ella Fitzgerald, and I was trying to figure out why you wanted the Edmund Fitzgerald to go with it, but I thought, no big deal. There's a whole bunch of Ella Fitzgerald music in the studio, but who cares?
Yeah.
No relation. No relation.
That's funny.
Stephen was probably wondering why I put all that stuff in there. I'm like, what the hell? And it looks like Wayne might be here.
But she,
Wayne, is
she's
that
on
you?
The, she's on.
It's me.
Hi.
Hi. Stephen, Patter.
Hey, day after Black Saturday, Black Friday. So to finish my thought, the program of the show with the Edmund Fitzgerald, this is Stephen 76. Take it away, Stephen. Give us some details and start the show.
Yeah, you know, first I got to talk about a little bit about that song because that's a very powerful song, and that one line. It always give me the chills, you know. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn to minutes to hours? That's just that's like a line that nobody could ever duplicate. That was just pure genius from Lightfoot. The song, of course, is the factual retelling of a shipwreck on Lake Superior, November of 1975, November 10th to be exact, when the Edmund Fitzgerald broke in half and sank. Storm that she was caught in reported winds from 35 to 52 knots and waves anywhere from 10 to 35 feet high. And as Lightfoot did say, she was loaded with 26,000 tons of taconite pellets. And one of her stops was supposed to be Cleveland, which is very close to me. The reason Lightfoot wrote this song is because he was shocked at the lack of coverage on the wreck. He said that every time he looked at a newspaper, it was like a little tiny paragraph or something about it. It was almost like it was being ignored. So he just felt that he had to write this song to honor the crew.
Yeah.
And he also found out later, because there's a line about the main hatchway giving way, and it's, fellas, it's been good to know you. As it turns out, they actually, after many dives and a lot of research, they found out that the main hatch did not give way, so the crew was not at fault for the wreck as they actually originally thought. So he was very happy to find that out, too, before he passed away. And I guess he sang the song differently live after finding that out, where he didn't say anything about the main hatchway giving way. So I just thought I'd bring that up. The song did chart at number two, and it was the second highest charting song that he ever had. The song Sundown did go to number one. The song that kept it out, kept Fitzgerald out of the number one spot was Rod Stewart's Tonight's the Night. Just thought I'd throw that out there too.
I thought it had happened years before 1975. I don't know why. Because that's the year I graduated from high school.
Oh, okay.
I thought I had listened to it throughout high school. So like Spirit in the Sky with Norman Greenbaum, you know, that is so that era.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I ever – I grew up in a little harbor town that had these big freighters come in on a daily basis to unload at the docks there. And I was only 5 years old when she sank. Sorry to make you feel a little older there, Heather. But I'm not sure if I actually ever saw the Fitz pull into my little harbor town. But I think it's because I lived there that
I was going to call you Brandy. Hey, Brandy.
I used to ride my bike because I could hear them blow their horns when they were coming in. And I would pedal my bike off to get down to the docks and watch them pull in and watch them. I could sit there for hours as a kid and not get bored and just watch these things unload stone or iron ore or whatever. I found it so fascinating. And I think that's one of the reasons why I felt such a strong connection to the Fitzgerald's crashing or wrecking or sinking. And the odd thing is a few years ago, when we were still doing shows over at PSL, we did a tribute to the Fitz, and I did more research, and actually one of the members of the crew holds the same name as some of my extended family. And so now I've actually been trying to dig if maybe I was related to this person who's at the bottom of Lake Superior.
Wow. That's
cool.
That is so cool. Yeah. Now, Edmund Fitzgerald was one of the larger tankers, and is that the kind that you would watch?
Yes.
Unload? The big ones? The big ones, huh? Mm.
Yeah, the big ones would come in, yeah. Yeah, and actually the Fitzgerald, when she went down and for many years before, actually since she was built, she was actually the biggest freighter on the Great Lakes at that time.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I guess if the harmonics of the waves get in such, and the angle of those big tankers, they just split in half because of the nothing, you know, structurally underneath the midship.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is, back then too, before her going down, there were no safety measures. It took her sinking for them to start putting. Actually, they didn't have bulkheads that would allow water to come in and not sink. You know, they had loads all the way up to that steel hull, so they could haul as much as they could, saving more money, bringing in the bucks. So all it
did that change? Did that change after the wreck?
After the wreck, they now have bulkheads, so there's more safety measures. A lot more safety measures being taken now since that happened. And actually, she was the last freighter to go down too. None have gone down since.
And what's the temperature of Lake Superior at that time?
Lake Superior holds it around, I believe down where she's at, it never gets above the 40-degree mark, up into the 40. So that's why.
Yeah, 15 minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes. Say goodbye.
Yeah, and that's why also they say she never gives up her dead, because at that temperature, the bodies never bloat and float. They stay down there.
We're partying. Having a party. So how many people were aboard? How many a crew?
29.
I never thought about
the... that song. That one voice was the captain.
The one voice, the last voice that you heard was the captain of the Anderson, of the Arthur M. Anderson, the boat that was a little ways behind her and had her on radar. And, yeah, the last time he talked to the captain of the Fitz, he said, "We're holding our own." That was the last thing that he heard from them before they disappeared.
Yeah, they say it must have gone down quick to not be able to. And you have, do you have rogue waves on Lake Superior?
Yes, there are rogue waves on Lake Superior, and I believe there were some people that reported three in a row.
Oh, no.
Swept
is there certain months? Is it more the winter, the fall, the summer, or that those rogue waves show up, or does it not matter?
Don't know that it matters. Any research that I did, I mean, this happened, of course, in November, and they keep saying how it came early, so maybe they're expecting late November and December for some of your
work. Late October? Okay.
But, yeah, the what they were saying from the Arthur M. Anderson, I'm trying to see if I could find the captain's name here, Captain Ernest McSorley. He was the captain of the Fifth. He was the captain of the Fifth. But the captain of the Anderson said that they had him on radar, and at one point it looked like he got too close to a group of islands where there's some jagged rocks in the shallows, and he thinks it looks like that maybe he hit those. And he was taking water, and then when the rogue waves hit, there was just no way. The water came in, split them in half, and they went down.
Or the rogue waves lifted them up, threw them on the reef, on the rocks. She just sunk. Well, you'd think they'd have a little more time, but unless they just got blindsided, you know.
Right, yeah, and I believe I'm looking here, too, because I remember when we were talking about it a couple of years ago, that the Fitz was talking about difficulty with their sonar, so he wouldn't even detect that he was in the shallows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those big ships, you got to decide where to turn 10 minutes before you need to.
Yep.
Start turning those things. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. The fleet, how big was the fleet of tankers back then? Is it just one company, or what companies actually run those? Is it Mazaric?
There's a bunch out there. You got companies from Canada that are running boats, and companies from America as well. There's actually a company that used to build boats here in Cleveland.
The big tankers. Big tankers. To one company, or they all have big tankers now or then. I thought there was only like five or six on the lake at that time that transported. I don't know why that number comes up to me in my head, but are the big tankers.
I have to look. I know it says here that the owner of the Fitz was a Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company. And the operator was the Olga Bay Norton Company of Cleveland, Ohio. The port that it was built in and launched in was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I've always been fascinated on big business, especially the shipping magnates like Onassis. The running of the company, what would you need to be aware of? What would you need to know? It's like, it's mind-boggling. Who does it, the chain of command on down to the actual crew of how they get that ship gets built, used, shipped, and repaired?
I just wanted to say this real quick. If you watch the video of that song with all the little notes in it, check it out. It actually has footage of them putting the Fitzgerald into the water. You know how they slide the ships into the water? The way they do it, the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Seems like they're always crossing their fingers when they do it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this one can work.
Yeah. I'm trying to find some more.
Minus how big Lake Superior is. You have
Well, Lake Superior is the biggest surface-wise. I'm not sure. I think it's the deepest as well. Looking that up right now.
And that's the first one from west to east, Superior?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is the one that it lays sideways? Is that the lays more sideways than... I mean, it's more, it's longer, east to west than it is north to south. Seems like Superior in Michigan and Huron in Ontario are all longer north to south.
Actually, if you're looking at a map of the Great Lakes, Superior is probably the biggest is the biggest west to east. North to south would probably be Lake Michigan.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to visualize. I should have it in front of me.
And Superior is the deepest.
Yes. So if you live around the Great Lakes, basically you know somebody or your family somewhere has is in the shipping business or a longshoreman or something.
And probably in one way or another. Whether they work at the docks or on the boats, probably in one way or another, it's gonna sell
the piping that they need. Yeah, the whole umbrella. It's like I remember seeing a B-52, I think it was, and the flight crew, and then all the mechanics and everybody has everything to do with keeping that one plane flying, and it's just a small army.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I don't know if I would. Would you rather fly the plane or trust the other guys that they fixed it right?
Yeah,
Big trust issue. I think I would. It'd be on my Christmas card list every year. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, with a big tip.
So is there a good, the last picture of Edmund Fitzgerald, like in the port, what it actually looked like? Let me put that on there. I think it's a little bigger than most people might think. Is it like 3 football fields long? Or?
Yes, you have a picture of it on your phone there, Stephen.
I put a GIF up of I did have a picture on the poem too. Let's see here.
Cool.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
where was the first time the Rogue Wave was mentioned? Because they didn't know they had them in 75. The captains believed it because they had seen them, probably a few of them, but the France or whatever, they didn't know what a rogue wave was, even in the Atlantic in 75. I don't believe. Seemed to me like it was like late 80s or maybe that the first time I ever heard rogue wave researched.
Here, I'll look that up too. I just put a nice picture of the Fitz.
Oh wow, yeah, whoa.
I watch those things all the time. When Kay and I walk at our favorite park, I see them out there on the horizon, and I got a set of binoculars in the car, and I'll make sure I run at them so I can take a really close look at them. Rogue waves, known as freak waves, monster rays. Monster waves, episodic waves, killer waves, extreme waves, and abnormal.
All of the above. Now, the term was rogue. I mean, the killer, I think I'd heard killer waves, but you think that's okay, you have a series of those in every storm. It's just how big is the storm. But the rogue wave is, you know, when everything hits from two storms, for example, meet. There's only one place to go, and that's up. The surge of water is such that builds these giant mountains. But
there's a lot of stuff here. It's saying that even as late as the mid-1990s, though, most popular texts on oceanography did not contain any mention of rogue or freak waves.
Yeah.
So it, even though the sailors have been reporting them since 1826, it says.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah,
science.
It was a frustration. I remember they're saying the captains of these ships were frustrated because they weren't believed.
Right, yeah. Especially on the Great Lakes. You know, because you're not on an ocean, so people would be less to believe that.
Yeah, but
yeah,
in honesty, isn't that you have your own Devil's Triangle, and it's actually more active than the Bermuda's. Isn't it? Don't you have more ships and planes disappear than?
Yeah, and here's one right here. This is what I wrote a poem about it. And this paragraph right here, I got to read this. I found this on Wikipedia. That rogue waves may also occur in lakes. A phenomenon known as the Three Sisters is said to occur in Lake Superior when a series of three large waves form. The second wave hits the ship's deck before the first wave even clears. The third incoming wave adds to the two accumulating backwashes and suddenly overloads the ship deck with tons of water. This phenomenon is the theorized cause of the sinking of the Fitzgerald on Lake Superior.
Yeah, I see that. Does it have any reference to what year they decided this was a phenomenon to worry about?
I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
It looks like it's still talking about.
Yeah.
They're just sitting on their heads.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember one of the tsunamis that happened. I think it was the Christmas Day tsunami in Indonesia, or I believe it was, that after the damage and the everything recited, there was only one type of structure standing, and it was the structures with the ark in it.
Wow.
And they looked at it sort of funny and figured that was why that was the how people. Civilizations will forget. You'll see a tsunami, and then they'll build nothing but something that the water can go through or under to prevent being washed away. And it took just this last, what was it, 2005 or something, when they first noticed that.
Yeah.
That's why the technology or the way they built was expecting these waves to show up one day. And then they just, you know, you forget, oh, my grandma's crazy. You know, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Right. There you go.
Again.
The first real measurement of a rogue wave occurred on January 1st, 1995.
January 1st. He was waiting for it. This year? Okay. Out the door. And where was that? On the Great Lake?
No, that was actually in the ocean off the coast of Norway.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I know the Indian Ocean is one of the most treacherous weather-wise. And I don't know if I would assume that they would have the rogue waves because the weather patterns are just absolutely terrible. But is there an ocean that doesn't have it? I mean, is there a part of the colder you get, the less there are, or any kind of? I mean, I'm asking you like you research something. I'm assuming, I guess. I've got it in front of me. I'm just trying to ask that question.
Me too.
Okay, winging it, man. Yeah, have you seen the videos of some of those waves? Where you can hear the boat creak, the ship, and you can hear and then everybody goes, oh, whoa, it's not supposed to do that. And the whole because he's hitting these waves head on, and the valley in between each crest is so great. That's where they just snap in half when they're
right. Yeah, especially if loaded. It says here rogue waves are now known to occur in all of the world's oceans many times every day.
Wow. Yeah. And it doesn't. You don't have to be in a storm necessarily, just because it's the remnants of two storms colliding. For example, that's one kind, and how fast they can travel. And they hit any kind of shallow. You know, when you're talking about a whole ocean depth, and it hits the shallows, that's what causes those. It's like the waves in Portugal. Oh my Lord! They had another surfer that survived. Surfing down one, and then you go out there, this monster wave's coming at you, and you see this little bitty speck, this little trail, a little trail behind them, and that's the surfer. He goes, oh my Lord. You can only be taken out there in the helicopter. But those waves are just incredible. Or the video of the wave hitting the lighthouse with the guy still with the door open.
Yeah,
he just barely gets it shut. That lighthouse is fully enveloped. I mean, the sea. I respect it so much. I'll admit it. It scares me. I don't trust it. I don't go in it. Don't need to. I like National Geographic and Go Jacques Cousteau Go. And I'm sure the Great Lakes in a lot of ways, besides it being freshwater, be the same. Did you see the curvature of the Earth? That's a big lake.
Yeah, and you could see them. And today when we went for our walk, I actually took a picture of it. I can put it on the board. The lake was so rough that the horizon was rippled. So there were some pretty big waves out there today.
Wow. So you go from glass to calm to white caps to extreme white caps. What's the next level? What do you call it when you're...
You're screwed.
We got to get out of here.
Because it's the shallowest of the lake, it doesn't take much for the lake to get extremely angry. And I can remember one day that me and my father were fishing what's called the bubble, where a lot of smallmouth like to hang out. And it was kind of, nothing was biting, so we're just kind of being lazy, just kind of lounging around on the boat with our rods and all. And all of a sudden I hear my dad swear, and he jumps up and he gets behind the wheel and starts the boat up. And I look around, and I swear to God, all I see is a wall of water coming at us. So the lake just decided to get angry just like that. And I mean, my dad was able to get the nose turned into it before it got to us and everything. But it was like, Jesus, what the hell happened?
Yeah, you know, funny you should say it. My dad and I had a similar situation. We were up in what's called Desolation Valley here in Northern California, and it's where the Rubicon is, the Rubicon, the four-wheel drive treacherous track cross country. Anyway, it creates its own weather. You can sit in Sacramento here or anywhere near Sacramento and look north, and you'll see Desolation Valley creating the thunderheads. And usually how the bigger the thunderheads, you can see them grow just before your eyes. We were up there fishing in one of the lakes, and we were over by the dam, and I look up at the other end of the lake because it's sort of a long lake. And I go, Dad, look up there. I go, are those white caps? He goes, well, it sort of looked like that. And just like you said, there was a front coming in, and it was pushing 3-foot waves on that lake. We had to go back towards it to get to safety, which was scary because it was almost all the way on us. But, yeah, real fast. Where that wind comes up, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I know, because I remember I listened to the show today. Sweet Pea was talking about Lake Erie and it's being the shallowest and all the shipwrecks. If you look it up, it'll say that Lake Erie actually has more shipwrecks than the Bermuda Triangle.
There you go.
Over 2,000 ships lie
well,
in the
disappearance.
Bottom.
Yeah, disappearances, too.
Yeah.
I believe
oh, yeah,
that.
There's actually a freighter. They have no idea where it went. It's just gone. Try to find the name of that freighter.
I guess that's now Davy Jones Locker. That's is it at the bottom of any body of water, or is that just the oceans? Do you have Dave's Locker or something?
The name of the boat that disappeared on Lake Erie is the SS Marquette and Bessemer Number 2.
Wonder what happened with Number 1. You know, and then and the costs. Of those freighters. Yeah, I think I'm going to put my money in freighter building this year. Because it's billions of dollars. You know, some of those boats don't even look when they have them stacked with the boxcars. They're stacked. They don't even look like ships. They look like floating islands.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little extreme.
Some of those
there goes my package from China. They show those videos of the boxcars rocking, something bust loose, and half of them go in the water. Splashing there. Somebody's paying for that. I think one of the good was they had nothing but cars strapped down on the deck of this on the top deck of this freighter, and they had them stacked, I don't know, three high maybe. And they started coming loose, and then by the end of the, there's nothing they could do. They have to sit there and just watch it. It was like a destruction derby. Destruction derby. You just see all these guys float over the edge, man, all that money.
Yeah.
Now, do you get water spouts? Do you get water spouts also? Can they be?
Yes, we
Can they do some damage? With they don't last long when they hit land, but there's got to be something right there that could get smashed.
Well, I think the main danger of water spouts if you're out there on the lake is they'll fill your boat up with water and send you to the bottom. But yeah, once they hit land, they just break apart. Just wondering.
Go ahead.
Just wondering what's Wayne think of all this? If I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, Wayne.
Hey, what's up? I'm listening to y'all. I'm getting some paperwork done, so keep carrying on. I'm having a good time listening to y'all.
I wish we could. The five largest waves. There's a video. Top five. And then these rogue waves are supposed to be bigger than these.
Yeah.
Lord. I won't post it. That sends them away. So, how many have we lost since? How many of the bigger takes have we lost since 75?
Since 75? None.
None.
Fitzgerald was the last one to go down. It was that made them wake up, and they put those nice watertight bulkheads on all the ships, and so
must have been a hell of a recall.
Yeah.
Ship got recalled. I wonder how that goes, how that works, and how long does it take? It's like rebuilding the whole damn thing.
I couldn't imagine. I just know it's just. Amazing to watch. So there's so many of them out there. So after a while, it was actually a few years ago when we were doing that show, I decided to look to see if the Arthur Anderson was still in service. And she is. She's actually still out there hauling iron ore. I found this app because of that will tell me the name when there's a boat out there. I can look at my app and it'll tell me the name of the boat that's out there. So
Duke, is there a radio? Can you listen to their radio communication too?
I think if I paid for the app, I could, but I just go with the freebie.
No, I mean, do the ham operators, do they tune into the boats talking to each other like the truckers do? Probably, I would assume.
Yeah. I don't know if they still use those technology out there or not, though. And that's the thing, too, because of this app, all these boats have these things on them, so they're trackable by GPS constantly. So
transponders. I think they're transponders.
Yeah, at any given time, you can tell where every boat is. So, you know, they're not going to get lost like that. That one.
Wow.
That I just
is there a like at the airport? They have a flight control. The flight control tower, do they have any kind of a system?
You know, I'd have to look that up. I think you just got the ports and the Coast Guard. I think that's pretty much all your...
Okay. Yeah, because you wouldn't want three of them all of a sudden sort of heading in the same spot. Well, there would be lanes. There'd be lanes that would be coming and going. So, yeah, it wouldn't be all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there should be. I got to see one crisscross. It's the first time I ever saw one this year. I saw two big ones crisscross out there.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the binoculars watching them.
That's when they had sails, that's what they had to do. I didn't know they... So they just don't go head into the headwind necessarily.
Yeah.
Or are they doing maneuvers?
The one was heading to Toronto, and the other one was heading to Cleveland. So they're.
Oh man. I got to go put the cat on the bed. I'm still here.
I'm gonna try to find.
I wonder how much more computerized everything is on those ships. Probably most all of it.
Yeah, probably. Here we go. Picture coming up here. This one's actually, he's from Canada. He's one of the Canadian ships. But he's the most common, as I should say, she is the most common ship that I see out there. You know, she seems to always be on Lake Erie. She was the one that docked mostly at my hometown when I grew up, and it was the most common ship to see. And actually, her original bridge when she ran on steam is now a part of the museum in the town that I grew up in. And you can actually go into her pilot house and look around.
Sleepy little harbor town. Oh, we have guests. I'm not in the studio.
Might be Raccoon.
Raccoon.
Knock, knock.
Hey,
Is it safe? Is it safe? No more turkey?
Was this the marathon man?
Yeah. So who's got leftovers still?
Oh, I do.
I have a little leftovers. My friend sent me home with enough leftovers. I'm by myself. He's got like, you know, five people in his house, and I'm by myself. He sent me home with more food than he kept. You're out of your mind. This is going to go bad before I even get to there's turkey and there's ham and there's noodles and there's mac and cheese. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Really?
I know who's not cooking the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's for sure. My microwave's going to get a workout.
Well, okay. I got it. I have to make my turkey a la king every year. I got to make my turkey soup every year. So that's still got to be done.
Is the Yellow King like Turkey Tetrazzini?
Oh, you know what? I've never had Turkey Tetrazzini, so I'm not sure. Turkey Tetrazzini. But it is in a white sauce with peas and traditionally with mushrooms, but Kay doesn't like mushrooms, so I don't put them in there. And it's served over rice.
Okay, yeah. The Tetrazzini is usually over noodles, so it's similar, very similar.
Somebody's in trouble. My cherry pie is gone.
Uh-oh. Cold
well, there's only you and Joy, so... I ate it.
Yeah, I can't complain.
So what you're saying is she got the pie, but you got everything else?
She took the lemon and meringue, too. But she went down to the ranch to a family thing, so I forgive her.
Oh.
Come over here. You can have some cheesecake.
Long ride for Cheesecake, Hatter.
I like cheesecake.
Say that again?
The pumpkin pie is
long ride for Cheesecake, she said. I'm gonna shill my Junior's Cheesecake from Brooklyn. That's where it came from. Junior's Cheesecake from Brooklyn. Wow. And ship all across the United States.
Well, you gotta have your own pie, so I could like Boston.
No, I do it to share my childhood. Actually, you know, if I was coming to visit, I would order you a cheesecake, and I'd be like, you know, this is what I grew up with. Tell me how good it is. It's just one of those things, and then if you look at the flavors, they go crazy. They've got, you know, black forest and pineapple and strawberry and chocolate mousse. Actually, is the one that I did this year. So it's like got a cheesecake base, and then there's chocolate mousse on top. Then they cover it in chocolate ganache and chocolate chips.
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
It's stuck it in.
Got
me
drooling like a dog.
And yes, I'm diabetic, and I ate it anyways.
Hey, I got a smaller splint. Got a smaller splint on my arm.
Oh, that's good.
Actually, it felt so weak. I put the other one back on for a couple of days.
Huh.
It just feels way weak. I'm so afraid of injuring it because it might not be a second shot, you know. But
yeah,
I got food. I thought he'd...
food is good.
I tell you what, not being able to use my hands, I can't draw, can't write, can't prune the trees.
Well, excuse not to do yard work.
You can't comb his hair.
I actually love to do yard work. I got some fruit trees that are 3 years old now, and they're on their first big boy pruning. I got to get out there and do it.
Your left hand works. Just saying.
I like to garden. I like to do the vegetable garden, but like cutting the grass and all that crap. No thanks.
Yeah, you know, some people find that peaceful, riding the lawnmower.
Yeah, not me. I hate the noise.
I need to push the rock.
Well, what was that from? One of the Jim Carrey movies, I think, where they were competing with the lawns. You know, my lawn's better than your lawn. Oh, they repossessed his lawn. That was it. Oh, that was funny.
Mine's better than yours, everything, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the catapult championship. They have different catapults. That's just a bunch of white boys with too much time on their hands.
You're talking about pumpkin chunking?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Pumpkin chunking.
They use it. I saw someone. They said the hell with the catapult. They use the trebuchet.
Yeah, there's three categories, and then they have the gas one that shoots at a damn mile.
Yeah, or it never makes it out of the cannon because it turns it into pumpkin pie before it comes out. the ratio of whatever it is just doesn't they mess up the calculations. It's brilliant watching that stuff. It's like they have to take all this stuff into consideration.
There was
the fields that they grow this certain type of pumpkin with a thick skin.
Yeah.
Ryan is a top secret. They hold those locations secret from everybody. I mean, it's like
there used to be a festival out where I live right now, and they stopped it after this one mishap because of the pumpkin chunking. The thing actually backfired, and the pumpkin went wrong way and out onto the highway and almost hit a car. Luckily, it did not hit the car. It came down on the road and smashed, but there were a lot of unhappy folks, and they stopped doing that festival after that.
One incident. Oops. Yeah, I think I found out of everything. First, I took away lawn darts, and now this.
Yeah, because of me.
Hey, the house I was staying in up at the Rich and Famous on that lake, was at the steepest part of the lake. It was the most pretty part also. Now, the house was three levels. It was three levels on the back with the back porch. There was two palm trees out by the pool within industrial rubber band length. I was gonna tie up to those trees and launch pumpkins out into the lake. Yeah, launch pumpkins out on the lake. I found these industrial rubber bands and I had it all set up and I got talked out of it. Like, don't do it, you can't do that. That'd be fucking hilarious. Where'd these pumpkins come from? Because they do float.
Did you ever see that there used to be a show called Junkyard Wars?
Oh, yeah.
And they would scour the junkyard to put stuff together. That's where I first saw the pumpkin chunking, actually, that they built the trebuchet to shoot the pumpkin.
Yeah, that was one of the first sort of reality shows that were taken care of in a shop or a what would you call those? I guess reality.
Reality show.
Like Monster Garage. Monster Garage.
On the subject of lawn darts.
Forged and Fire is still going strong. Where they make the swords and the knives and the daggers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's on. Yeah, I have that every. It comes on at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
I just wanted to mention
Fire.
If I could.
We're coming down to the hour.
Yes,
sir. Thank you guys for showing up. Wayne, thank you. Go ahead. Back to
her. I'm just
committed to getting in on the hour. Yeah.
Before we closed out here, though, I would like to read off the names of the crew members on the fits that
yes.
I lost, if I could. So I will start off. I know we don't have a third bell to ring 29 times, but I will start off with the captain, Ernest McSorley. And then there was Michael Armagos, Frederick Beecher, Thomas Benston, Edward Binden, Thomas Borgeson, Oliver Champeau, Nolan Church, Ransom, Sunday, Thomas Edwards, Russell Haskell, George Hull, Bruce Hudson, Alan Kalman, Gordon McClellan, Joseph Mazes, John McCarthy, Eugene O'Brien, Carl Pecall, John Povach, James Pratt, Robert Rafferty, Paul Ripa, John Simmons, William Spangler, Mark Thomas, Ralph Walden, David Weiss, and Blaine Wilhelm.
Must have been horrifying, because they knew, they had no survival suits. They knew where they. What time of the morning was it? Was it early morning, late night?
It was in the dark. I know it was dark out. Hang on, now I got to get back to where I was there.
Around midnight.
Gerald, does it say what time? November 10th,
1975, 7:10
p.m.
7:10. Wow.
Well, it's sad that this has kind of happened, but it's good to know that it hasn't happened since.
Yeah, it's a shame that they weren't thinking about safety beforehand, but this is what woke them up.
Yeah, and you know that pilot error thing is the first thing the insurance companies do.
Right, yeah, that's why they immediately went to that main hatchway not being secured properly, so it was the crew's fault.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But then
and that wasn't overturned until they recovered it, right? Until they actually saw it?
Yeah, until actually they saw it, and they did many dives looking at different things, and they finally figured out, no, it was not crew error. It was...
How deep water is it in?
It's down. How far down is it? It's down where it's cold. let's see. I just had that open. 530 feet.
Yeah, you start losing light. There's a light down there.
Yeah.
That's why
did
you
they
get
find
those...
it in two pieces, or did they say
two
pieces? Two pieces.
Broken half.
So broken half now. Okay. So I must have. Retrain some captains on how to approach those waves. You don't go into them head on or something.
Yeah.
But then you start rocking, so I don't know. Avoid them at all costs. You know?
Well, they're figuring that she scraped the bottom and it opened her up enough to bring water to start taking on water. And when those three waves hit her.
That must have been right there that she went up on the reef. She was got into the shallows. Those waves hit her.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's just a great song. But I would have bet that it was before 75. I don't know what year it was that I learned that was the year. Even to this day, I feel like it. We played that song in high school in the woods because I had already graduated.
Yeah.
I never grew up. That was it.
Yep. She was launched in 1958. So she was actually a relatively young ship when she went down because, I mean, some of these ships
not
are
even
really
70 years old.
Yep.
Is there a time where they retire those ships after so many hours, or is it on a maintenance schedule?
It depends on the shape they're in, actually, because some of them might be. How old the Arthur Anderson is right now.
Yeah, we're just all of this over there. Just gonna float it over there. No big deal. And you said what cargo did it have?
It had a load of iron ore.
From Canada. They're going to Canada.
Yeah, the Arthur Anderson, which was behind her, was launched in 1952, and she's still out there going. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Must be, I don't know, is it an honor to serve on that ship? Must be well known.
Yeah, I'll close and put a picture of her up on the board.
Yeah, a buddy of mine served on the USS Abraham Lincoln, and during the Iran hostage crisis, he was in the Mediterranean, and he said those ships are so damn big, those aircraft carriers.
Yeah,
I can imagine what these super tankers are. Well, pass out the life vests.
Not if you're Quint.
I'm the king of the world.
All right, yeah, there's a picture of the Arthur M. Anderson on the board now. So she's still
okay.
She's still hauling.
Did you mention the captain of the Anderson that was on the radio reporting that they can't see or locate the Fitzgerald? Captain of the Anderson back then?
Yeah.
I thought you said who it was.
No, it said it was talking about McSorley. It didn't say who the captain was at that time of the Anderson. I don't know why.
Maybe I thought when you said Anderson, maybe that's what I thought you meant first time. Yeah, probably. Captain Anderson.
Yeah, it doesn't even say here, and I'm on an article about the Anderson. I don't see anything about who the captain was at the time.
Yeah. Wow. And what a helpless feeling. Just went down.
Almost instantly, it sounded like it was almost instantly. He said he heard from the captain of the Fitz. They said they were holding their own and never heard from them again.
Wow. And he wasn't in such a... I mean, they had some sort of GPS back then, didn't they, as far as navigation around the reefs?
I think they used the sonar and the radar pretty much back then.
But no satellite. I guess no satellite, huh? Okay.
Nope.
They had warning buoys and things like that, you know?
Well, that's what I was thinking. The Captain Anderson, if you ever said, hey, you might want to hang a little left, you're too far right.
Yeah, you'd think, but I know that he did report that, like I said, the Fitzgerald was having issues with her sonar, and maybe that's why she didn't know she was getting so close.
Yeah, the technology. I get, the GPS now with the satellite, you know exactly where they are. Doesn't matter what the water level looks like.
Yep. Well, hell, you can let your car drive itself now with a GPS.
Hey, they had an aircraft carrier go aground underneath the Golden Gate Bridge years back. That wasn't good. They were protesting it's coming into the bay and docking. These anti-military people, and then it runs aground. Not a good day. Well, past an hour there.
Yeah.
What day is of the week is last Friday shoot. I keep asking that. I got a magic box in front of me. The day of the week is because
December 29th.
Yes, December 29th.
Rack, did you want to push your show?
Cool.
The topic board isn't even up. I don't know. It's it says I'm thinking about something upbeat, like your last words. If you could leave a message behind and you knew you were going to pass, what would you want to say? I had seen an article about your people's final last words and things like that, and I forget who the heck it was. I know Leonard Nimoy had something profound, but there was a famous poet, and his last words were like, my wallpaper and I are in a fight to the death, and surely one of us is not going to see the morning, or something stupid like that. And those were his last words. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Obviously he didn't know he was going to die, but it was like, you would want to say something profound, like that they had the memorials on Boot Hill, and some of those were really funny, because you have that opportunity. My favorite one was I told you I was sick.
Do you remember what Steve Jobs was?
What was it?
Wow! Oh wow! Oh wow! Makes me wonder what he was seeing.
Sure does. the sound of his voice, would it make a difference whether it was a enlightening good wow or
yeah.
Oh my goodness wow, like terror.
Yep. Yeah.
I think it was enlightening. I believe it was an enlightening tone of voice. Is what I heard.
That would be so awesome.
I'm trying to find that rack. Was it wallpaper? Did you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've heard that. Me and my wallpaper.
My wallpaper and I are in a duel to the death. And surely one of us is not going to see the morning, or something like that. I was just like, and this was a famous poet, there was an article. It's like
Oscar
12
Wilde.
Famous Oscar Wilde. Thank you. This is 12 famous last words. And he was number 12. Leonard Nimoy was number 11. But there's like Joan Collins. Said something like, don't tell me not to scream or something like that. I mean, there was some just, obviously these people didn't know they were going to be their last words, so they're, I guess, playing on the irony of.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But to take a different tack on it though, it's like if you knew, you only had so long to live. Well, what would you want to say? What would you want your final thought to be? Your kind of legacy, It's
okay. Okay, who said this? Money can't buy life. Famous last words.
Marley.
Marley. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough. Fools who haven't said enough.
Karl Marx.
Karl Marx, yeah. I hope the exit is joyful and hope never to return.
Yeah.
Rita. And damn it, don't you dare ask God to help me.
Joan
Crawford. I'm bored with it all.
Yeah. We're all on the same page. Yeah, was it Confucius that said it's all been said and never talked again, never spoke? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have nothing more to say. It was a good tribute to the Edmund Fitzgerald. I think that was a good thing. And
especially when you read the names of the dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little more information of the ships and the treachery that is called Lake Superior.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, well, thank you guys. Steven, thank you, thank you. Racketeer, thanks for calling in. Wayne, thank you for calling in, buddy. We'll see you on the fantasy football field.
Love and respect,
so,
everyone.
Good night.
All right, then. Good night.
Great show, you guys.
An air and sea search is continuing for possible survivors of the Edmund Fitzgerald, a 729-foot ore carrier, which apparently broke apart and sunk last night on Lake Superior. The ship and its 29-man crew vanished in a storm with 80-mile-an-hour winds and wave heights up to 25 feet. All that has been found is an oil slick and some debris.
Legend is on from the Chippewa on down, up the big lake they call Good Sugar's Mill. The lake, it is said, never gives up for dead when the skies of November turn to mist. With the load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. A big ship and crew was a bung to be chewed when the gales of November gave her lay. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from Plumville in Wisconsin. And the big freighter's car, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain wealthy then. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left for a load of prickly pest. And later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind in the wild made a paddle deal. Every man knew as the captain did, just as the witch of November comes stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. But afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind.
Come on. I got for that.
Lake Huron rose a billion feet in the river, the race water mansion. Oh, Michigan seems like a young man's dream. The islands and bathers the sportsmen. Farther below Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remember.
Night, Stephen.
Right.